Who here is a priest? Besides me. All right. Who here is a king? Besides him. All right. Here's the answer. Now, sister is a little bit disappointed right now. If you are baptized, you are baptized into Christ's threefold offices: priest, prophets, and king. In Catechism number 783, Jesus Christ is the one whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and established as priest, prophet, and king. The whole people of God participates in these three offices of Christ and bears the responsibilities for mission and service that flow from them. You are a member of the priesthood of the baptized. Through the sacrament of holy orders, I share in the ministerial priesthood of Jesus Christ. And I have a very, very unique relationship with him. Because when you hear the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," or in the confessional, "And I absolve you of your sins," it may look like me, it may sound like me, but it's him and Jesus Christ in the sacrament of holy orders. As the church teaches, in persona Christi capitas, in the person of Christ, head of the church. But in your ministerial, in your priesthood of the baptized, and in my ministerial priesthood, that reality is brought into clear focus at the offertory. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. I offer that sacrifice on your behalf, and you affirm that reality by saying, "Oh, come on." Amen. There you go. Because you know what? I never say that word during the Mass. Because then I would take that portion of your responsibility in the offering of the Mass from you. So that, you know, so if anyone asks, you know, how many times does the priest say amen during Mass? Zero. That one doesn't count, by the way. Okay. So it is during the Mass that you exercise your priestly office. At the end of the Mass, usually it's the deacon who offers the departing statements. I prefer saying, "Go and announce the gospel of the Lord." It's a reminder of Jesus' commission. Go out to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all that I have commanded you. When you proclaim the gospel, you are fulfilling your prophetic office. Proclaim the gospel. Use words if necessary. I heard that somewhere. So what about your kingly office? Mel Brooks, in his History of the Universe Part 1, said, "It's good to be the king," right? Today, on this 34th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. When you remember the king, do not forget the queen. This feast of Christ the King was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925 as an antidote to secularism, a way of life which leaves God out of man's thinking and living and organizes his life as if God did not exist. Pius XI was prophetic and wise in the establishment of this solemnity at the end of our liturgical year, because this Friday, in all its pagan glory, begins the secular holiday season, starting with Black Friday. You laugh, but watch what happens during this season. It ends on December 26th at the return counter at the store. And I guarantee you, you will find Christmas trees on front lawns on December 26th. What a sad reality that is. Black Friday. Even the name sounds ominous. So this feast is intended to proclaim in striking and effective manner Christ's royalty over individuals, families, society, governments, and nations. Now, I think as Christians, Catholics, as we gather here for the celebration of this Mass, the most important thing that we do in our lives, we can see the importance of a divine King for ourselves and for our families. But what about those other things, society, government, and nations? When was the last time a nation was formed to protect its religious identity? It was May 14th, 1948. You know the country? Israel, exactly, Israel. The Star of David is prominent on their flag. I don't know of any, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any other country in the world that has the crucifix as part of their nation's flag. I'm going to quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a beautiful document, direct product of the Second Vatican Council. Not an easy read, so I'm going to read it to you slowly. And listen carefully to these words. In number 786, the people of God shares in his royal office of Christ. He exercises his kingship by drawing all men to himself through his death and resurrection. It continues in number 898. By reason of their special vocation, this is the vocation of lay people, by reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. It pertains to them in a special way so to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are closely associated, that these may always be affected and grow according to Christ, and may be to the glory of the Creator and the Redeemer. The great document from the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, repeats this teaching. And number 31, the laity, by their very vocation, seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and ordering them according to the plan of God. They live in the world, that is, in each and all of the secular professions and occupations. They live in the ordinary circumstances of family and social life from which the very web of their existence is woven. They are called there by God, that by exercising their proper function and led by the Spirit of the Gospel, they may work for the sanctification of the world from within as leaven. In this way, they make Christ known to others, especially by the testimony of a life resplendent in faith, hope, and charity. You live in the world. In your kingly office, you order the world according to God's plan. One of my parish assignments was a rather affluent parish. Among us parishioners included an anchorman for Fox News. If you watch Fox News, you probably see him every night. A conservative talk show radio host, an Olympic gold medalist who won several medals in women's swimming, the last Olympics, and the Chief Justice of the United States, who was a good friend of the pastor. Because of the pastor's close connection with the Chief Justice, the eighth graders at the end of the school year, every year, got a special behind-the-scenes tour of the Supreme Court. And after the tour was done, the Chief Justice would come out and have a one-on-one discussion with the eighth graders. And these were smart kids. They asked him some tough questions. And one of the questions they asked him, how do you balance your job as a judge and being a Catholic? He said, when I put on my black robes, only the laws of this country influence my decisions. A former Catholic senator from the state of Massachusetts, who came from a prominent political family, had some moral problems about how he represented his people, and a bishop gave him some bad advice. As long as you do the will of the people, there is no moral problems. Sorry, those are lame excuses. You have lost your identity and only protecting the office to which you were elected or appointed, and not the office to which you were baptized. The higher office is that which comes from God. As a kingly people, you are responsible for building the kingdom of God here on earth, to prepare the way of the Lord. Yesterday was a beautiful day in my family. Some of my family members are actually here today at this Mass. I celebrated the wedding Mass for my grandnephew and his wife. I love saying, because we've known her for such a long time, we can now say, you know, his wife. It's a beautiful thing. And I told them their first responsibility in their marriage is the sanctification of each other. As we are called as a kingly people to sanctify the world, their first responsibility is sanctification of each other, and then to bring children into the world with more souls. There are more workers for the vineyard to help build the kingdom. And then our responsibility is to go out and build the kingdom of God according to his plan. And is it going to be easy? Of course not. Look at his throne. It's the cross. Sharing in Christ's kingly office, we share his crown, his throne and his crown. To deny the cross is to deny him. Next week, we begin the penitential season of Advent, the Little Lent, like the church likes to call it. So next week I'm going to ask you, what are you giving up for Advent? When I started my homily, I warned you of the coming secular holiday season. It's easy to get caught up in the distractions, pulling you away from the reason for the season, Jesus Christ. So maybe your Advent penance will be to offer the sacrifice, to proclaim the gospel, to build the kingdom. Be a priest, be a prophet, and be a king.